086 60 25,000. That is our WhatsApp and text, 086 60 25,000, or give us a call on 074 91 25,000. Okay. Joe Coyle, who has been a guide with the Donegal Camino since its foundation, joins him now. Joe, can you hear me okay?
I can hear you loud and clear, Greg. Thanks for being with us.
No, I'm looking at you literally. It's like a live view. It's the Joe Cam of you walking. And you know what? Oh, wow. Well, look at that crowd. Right. Describe to me what we're looking at here, Joe, for those listening on the radio.
So this is day two of the Donegal Camino, year five of the Camino. Day two, we're actually on plan three for today. Originally, we were going to do the Urus Hills, and then we did a slightly lower version. And because of the weather overnight and the forecast, we've gone for a complete road walk from Clonmany to Dunree Fort, where we're going to be hosted by the Donegal Person of the Year. They're just taking a short break. It's been quite damp since we came over the bridge in Clonmany. It's dried up because you're making an appearance. As you can see, fabulous scenery. Inland scenery, we spend a lot of time on the coast on the Camino, but we have fabulous inland scenery of Inishowen here, which I know Peggy Stringer will be delighted to.
It is absolutely gorgeous. And Joe, whilst the fundraising drive is in full earnest, there's been again another brilliant response to this event, which supports Cancer Care West.
Absolutely, it's been fantastic. Obviously, with the rain and everything, the numbers are slightly down on the day, but still huge, huge numbers signed up. And we're sort of capped at 100 walkers per day, and we've had the most of that for both of these days, and we're booked in to have that plus guides, etc., over the next couple of days. So it's been very well supported, and significant amounts of money coming in. It's not my area, so I'm not quite sure. I saw a number of 70,000 somewhere along the line sometime yesterday, so delighted that that's working so well. And as you know, Greg, you're a significant supporter, and your organisation are significant supporters of Cancer Care West. So the funds raised here, and said repeatedly, go entirely to support not just Cancer Care West, but Cancer Care West facilities in Donegal, which I'm personally delighted to be involved with, because I've had the dubious privilege or honour of being a patient of theirs a number of years ago. So it's really important to me, and really important to the people who are on the journey over the next couple of days, because I find that the people that take on this walk, unlike other walks, are here typically for very personal reasons, be it their own medical history or their family history. So they're, as a guide, they're a different group, and beautiful people to work with, and it's really a privilege to be here and to work with them.
And you know what I think is lovely about the people taking part in the walk, Joe? A lot of them are doing it for personal reasons. Some speak about it publicly and happy to do so, and others just keep their counsel. You know, they just do it for themselves. Now, you do amazing work. We spoke to you when you led the Get Your Prostate Checked, Lads. I still have my T-shirt. I was told I couldn't wear it out one day, and I says, I'm bloody wearing it out. You know, prostate's not a bad word. I stuck it out. Went for Thank something you. To eat in it, if you don't mind. But €17,500 you've raised through that initiative. A massive amount of money, which you're donating as well via the Donegal Camino Fundraising Initiative, Joe, which is remarkable what you achieved there, not just in terms of money raised, but getting the message out.
Yeah, to be honest, I suppose very briefly, my story is I was accidentally diagnosed with prostate cancer in the back end of 21. I was fortunate to be able to have the option of having surgery in January 22. And 2 days before I went for surgery, I made an agreement with myself that if I was succeeded in getting through that I would do something arduous in Thanksgiving personally. And then it became something much bigger than that. It became about supporting or fundraising, or rather giving people who had an interest in Cancer Care West the opportunity to donate to an iDonate page, which is iDonate/JoeCoyle11, which actually is still open and went up £100 yesterday. So we're welcome. We're happy to take any donations. This is the gang coming towards us.
I was going to say, Joe, you're a better fundraiser than you are a cameraman. But listen, you're doing a good job for us. That's better now. There we are. We're getting the waves. Okay. And come here. We've got day two. This is day two. Day three tomorrow, Strabane and Lifford Bridge to Rafoe in the award-winning Oakfield Park. Day four, Sunrise on Errigal. Day five, the Arranmore Island Loop, which we're taking part in. I can't wait for that. Day six, the Bluestack Way, Glenties to Ardra, and then Sleeve League, day seven. That's a new route on Saturday. So is there any spaces left at all, Joe? I know there was a couple of dates here or there, but can people check out the website and see if it's not too late?
I think there are spaces available tomorrow. This is Noreen Darcy approaching me, who's the project manager, with whom you'll be familiar.
Hey, Noreen, can you hear me? Are you on headphones?
Looking forward to seeing you on Arranmore. Any spaces left for tomorrow and Errigal?
Yes, there are spaces left for tomorrow for Tuesday and a couple of spaces for Errigal, which will now, I'll obviously announce it, we'll be registering at 6:30 in the morning, hiking at 7 a.m. That will be going out on our Facebook page later on today, unless the weather changes dramatically and we have another plan. We will be walking all week, rain, hail, or Four Seasons.
All right, yeah. Brilliant stuff. I'll tell you, Joe, you are the man on the ground. You're reporting, you're doing interviews, you're doing every blooming thing, Joe.
I'll tell you.
Getting us exclusives and everything. Greg,
the only thing that's eluded me is I've failed to encourage some significant people to join us on the prostate cancer walk. I mean, there was a guy who was going to join us on the Atlantic Drive. I mean, we delayed the walk for 3 hours.
No. Hold on, you Joe. Now, I was on the pier. I was on the pier in Downing's at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I waited to half four.
Show me the photograph.
And Greg just passed on to a lovely lady in the academy in Ballyrain. I will need a blow dry again at the end of the week.
Well, we'll sort that out for you. Ashley will look after you. Don't worry. I'm still trying to convince her to join us on Thursday, but we'll see. Listen, thank you very much, everyone. Joe,
thank you.
You know, the smiles on people's faces, the lovely... All right, see you soon. Yeah. The smiles on people's faces and all, it's wonderful to see. I cannot wait for Thursday, Joe. They're keep up the good work.
They're a beautiful bunch of people. Thank you again.
Okay, Slan, take care. No, it's our pleasure. I'm not cutting him off there, but he was already very nice to us, and I can only take so much of that. Right, okay, so we are doing the Arranmore Loop on Thursday, 16 kilometres. Will you share out my GoFundMe at the moment? Because, listen, the target's really, really low, but I'd like to head over there with a grand in my pocket just to give to Cancer Care West. You know, I've got 70,000 people following me on social media. I've got a massive order audience that I don't, we do here on Highland Radio. If everyone give 50 cent, we'd be flying. But they're not giving 50 cents. So please, I need it. I need to take some money to Arranmore. If you can support us, please go on to my Facebook page. Just search Greg Hughes. The I Donate link is at the top. It's a very modest target, but please give me something. If you want to go on to the Highland Hub Facebook page, we'll post it there right now as well. Or just search Greg Hughes on I Donate, and all of the money, every single shilling, is going to Cancer Care West. And you know, the money's great, but also us talking about it. And I want to speak to you directly if you have had a cancer diagnosis, or you're waiting on news of maybe you're waiting on news of some test results. Maybe you've been told that, you know, you've just been told you've got cancer, you're waiting to be referred, or you're waiting on a treatment plan and you didn't realise it's weeks and weeks and weeks. You thought, right, I'll get this diagnosis and I'm going to start my fight straight away. And then you get this devastating news that you might have to wait 3 months or something. I don't know, it depends. But that's what Cancer Care West are for, part of what they're for down in Letterkenny as well. Give them a buzz. You know, maybe you're post-cancer and everyone around you is going, yeah, mom's cancer-free or dad's cancer-free. But inside you're afraid that, you know, what if it comes back? You know, I still don't feel great after the treatment, but I can't let my family down, because they would be, you know, they all think everything's rosy in the garden, and you're carrying that burden and you feel that, you know, you should feel different to the... I'm just trying to talk of scenarios. Speak to the people down at Cancer Care West in Letterkenny, and speak to other people. Go in for a cup of coffee. Don't even say why. Call in, have a cup of coffee, and, you know, get some support, because sometimes everyone around us doesn't exactly get how we feel, and there's no need for you to feel alone in that regard. There's never a wrong time to sort of reach out and get some support in this area. I hope I've spoken to one or two of you that might be encouraged. It's a beautiful family, welcoming environment. Divulge as much or as little as you like. Have a cup of coffee, a cup of tea. And all the money being raised right now is to keep those services going, to keep the lights on, to keep the roof over, to keep the amazing staff in situ down there. They do fantastic work. I hope you never have to find out the work that they do, because that would mean that neither you, anyone close to you, or any of your family would ever get cancer. But sadly, unfortunately, we know it's that pathetic, horrible disease that affects one in two of us, but it affects all of us by proxy. We're always going to have someone close to us with cancer, if not ourselves. So please, if you can, support us in supporting them. Go to my Facebook page, Greg Hughes, and you can donate there, please. I think I've pinned it at the top of the page, or we have shared it on our Facebook page here. Or if you give us a ring, we can process it. 086 60 25,000. 07491 25,000. If you want a ring, we can sort something out there as well. If you wish to make a donation, I'd really, really appreciate it. idonate.ie/fundraiser/GregHughes1. And as I say, we'd love to contribute a grand or so, or even more. We did six last year. I kind of was late to the party. I don't think we're going to get anywhere near that unless you really get generous. But I'll give Katie the login details here if you wanted to give us a ring and we can process something there. I'm sorry to always... Well, I never ask. I was going to say I'm sorry to be... I never ask, you know. All right, listen, I think I've begged enough there. I'll leave it at that. Thanks so much to Joe Coyle coming on. As I say, I can't wait to get over it to Aaron Moore on Thursday, to just be a part of it, really, to just sort of the feeling. We did Ards last year, and it was just lovely. We were told, actually, that it was a gentle little wander through the trees. And as it turned out, it was quite an arduous but beautiful hike. I managed it. Fingers crossed I'll manage Aaron Moore. All right, let me take a break. We'll be back with way much more after these messages. You're welcome back to the programme. I'm joined on it now by ANCTU representative in Donegal, Mary T. Sweeney. Mary T., hopefully you can hear me okay. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg. Good morning, listeners.
Right. You have called a public meeting seeking for solutions to the ongoing issues of traffic in Letterkenny. Traffic chaos, as some would describe it. We were chatting to one business owner last week who said it's really had a significant impact on their business. But I think up until now, the business community has been pretty quiet on the issue. What are you hearing?
I'm hearing the opposite. I'm hearing the commuters in particular I'm talking to, and it was they that came to me and they asked me, is there any way that we can do something to try and highlight the real concerns and the stress levels that's affecting the drivers in the morning and the children and the people going to start their day at work and at school, and everybody's starting on an alerted high because they're so stressed to estimate how long it's going to take them to get to work.
Yeah, and do they feel that they're frustrations are being, you know, falling on deaf ears?
Totally. That's the feedback I'm getting. That's why they're coming to me, because they want me to try and escalate their concerns. This is not supporters of mine. These are just the general public have come to me and said, would you please do something, because we can't stand it any longer. We need support. We need our council to listen, and they're not listening.
Is there anything can be done, really? Because let's face it seems the only show in town is the 10T project. You can see the influence of that project on other initiatives that are taking place, you know, like trying to encourage more people to walk or cycle. Money's being spent in that regard, but it's all with one eye and eventually, you know, the 10T project and that relief bridge. So between now and then, honestly, do you think anything can be done to alleviate people's strife?
First of all, we need to identify the short-term solutions and the long-term solutions. And my suggestion that the people are saying to me, these are coming from the ground up, and that is yellow boxes at some of the junctions. Basically, the bottom of the Smonaghan, the connection with the Leck Road, which is a major concern in the mornings getting in there. A simple, actually putting a pedestrian crossing would slow the traffic down and give the houses that are trying to get out onto the traffic time to get out onto the traffic. A digital time zoning on the Leck Road to reduce the speed They have put two ramps up there, but there need other areas that those slow ramps could slow down the traffic and allow people then to access onto the road. But things like the yellow boxes and the enforcement of the yellow boxes.
But does that, whilst that might make it easier for local traffic to get around, every action has a reaction. So if you slow the general movement of traction, traffic, Mary T, that is going to be felt elsewhere in Letterkenny on approach roads, etc. We know, like, one car breaking down effectively can almost bring Letterkenny to a standstill. Are you not concerned that slowing cars down, stopping cars with yellow boxes, etc., could actually exacerbate the problem elsewhere?
Greg, my honest opinion on this is, if you want an example of bad planning, not alone, BBC in 2012 gave an example from the Tashka report, an extensive Tashka report all over Ireland, and Donegal County Council stood out as a minus F, the lowest grade in planning. We had over 150,000 hectares of land zoned for planning, yet the planning happened on 50% of land that wasn't even zoned. So they're going through box-ticking exercises. The council's not working the way it's supposed to work. They're not listening to the people, the communities and the concerns. We're producing these Letterkenny plan and local transport plans, and they're ticking all the boxes on paper, but they're not listening to the people in reality. When you talk about infrastructural development, they're developing zones south of the River Swilly at the moment, hand over fist. There's not a creche. There's not a community centre. There's no zoning to allow for an additional access apart from the Old Town Bridge to get over into the main town, unless you drive back out to the Port Bridge or drive out to New Mills. The lack of planning is horrendous, and I cannot blame planners. So I can only blame the Donegal County Council officials are holding the planners to account and not giving them the skills that they have to allow them to remediate for poor planning that's been done. Somebody is stopping the planners from planning and from taking their work out practically into the community. And we have got to ask the question, who is doing that? We're on a plan at the moment, Greg, for a 2024 town plan. And they're going on facts that were written in 2018. The facts that they're basing the 2024 plan on, Greg, were gathered in 2018.
Big changes since then.
Some changes since then. Crazy stuff.
Yeah, but the meeting on Wednesday evening, it's at the Hideout Bar in Old Town Letterkenny at 7:30 p.m. this Wednesday coming. Who's going to be at it? Like, are you looking to hear the concerns of the public, our public representatives, or anyone from the council invited? Like, what is this meeting on Wednesday about, beyond obviously the problem with the traffic?
Well, the residents have asked me to try and bring them together. I have a bigger picture here because I am from Letterkenny. And the problem is we have lost in Letterkenny a very valuable asset. And it probably was most emotionally shown when the Letterkenny reunion closed down. That sense of community. Mm. And our council is so busy that they're not seeing the bigger picture. They're not seeing how we're losing community. We're losing that sense of involvement and community. Everybody now has, like, they're in running or they're in football, but the actual community centres that people need to go in and out of to get to know the people living beside them, the creches, the zoning, we're not developing that the way we should be for proper infrastructure. And we're definitely not developing a roads network. Mm-hmm. So I'm over 20 years looking at the Leck Road being developed. And the reality is there's still random chaos, what BBC and Antashka called chaotic planning, still evident in Letterkenny. And nobody can deny that. We've all heard about the courses in architecture, citing us as being an example of bad planning. We need to stop it and say, we've made mistakes. We need to change our tactic. We need to say who's responsible for not allowing qualified planners, designers, not doing their job, because they're well able to do it. I have every confidence in the people we have employed as planners. But who's stopping them? Why are they not being allowed? I'm inviting
That's what I was saying. I'm not in any way sort of saying your point of view is not valid. I do believe the town Letterkenny is being developed and built now with, you know, 10, 15, 20, 30 years in mind, i.e. when a lot of the traffic is taken out of the town. you know, with the 10T project, with the bridge over the Swilly, etc. You know, there's lots of traffic that will never see Letterkenny. And my feeling is that the planning is with that in mind rather than, you know, what would fix problems right now.
I haven't followed this very tightly, but if you're basing planning on a 2018 information, you're out of date.
Okay, folks, well, we'll have to get
it's confirmation. It's a failed plan to start with. Now, I would be inviting people from all over the community to come together to show community spirit, and I will be asking people to walk with me that want to see the cracking, the extensive cracking on the old tower. And I'm inviting you, Greg. Mm. Please go down in your free time and carefully walk the bridge.
I did walk over from Old Dunn's and look at it after our last conversation. I know exactly where you're coming from. As much as you can see, I think really the telling signs, which I didn't see, are from underneath, because that's a look at the fans effectively.
But even it depends on the light, Greg, in fairness. And when you walk it, even yesterday I was on it last night again, and actually when you see it in the middle of the grid, cracks on both sides, in the middle of the bridge, and I get a letter from our council saying it's to do with a car crash. Absolutely nothing to do with the car crash.
Okay, so the first the meeting in the first instance, September 3rd, 7:30 p.m. Next to the Hideout Bar in Old Town Letterkenny. Okay, that's the gathering point.
People can park over at the Now Dock Centre and that, where there's room up along there, and just walk down. We're gathering there, and as we're going to try and get people together to get a committee up and running. We need the community to learn to be a community, come together, and let's address this, because the only answers will be achieved with community support.
Thanks so very much indeed. That's Mary T. Sweeney and Ain't Too Repping Donegal. A caller says, Greg, where is the Cancer Care Centre in Letterkenny? Pat, sorry, I should have mentioned. It's on the Pierce Road next door, next to the back entrance of Sister Sarah's pub. So there's a hole in the wall, effectively, where you can drive in there. It's upstairs there, but there's lifts and all. It's perfectly accessible. So if you're looking on from the furniture shop, it's to the left of Sister Sarah's. The best of good luck to the Donegal Camino. That's from John Wilkie. Brilliant cause indeed, John. Getting prostate check awareness like other checks, very important, but getting to Galway is not so easy. Getting there, a place to stay and cost involved. And that's why we've been fighting so hard for a surgical hub that hopefully would assist in areas like this, especially with the additional services available for that. We're so aware of that. We have to keep getting things checked. And if it's hard work getting treatment, we're just going to have to endure that until such time as the facilities are upgraded at LUH. And we shorten that period of time by keeping the pressure on the powers that be to fulfil their promises as it relates to Letterkenny University Hospital. So it might not be for me or you, listener, but hopefully for our kids, they'll have a far better health service up here. No farmers, no food. They are substituting our food with mealworm flour. Ireland, at all costs, should be able to feed its own country. Yeah, indeed. And hold on to it rather than it being taken from us and forcing a famine. Listen, there's no point us not producing beef and taking beef in from Poland. Love the Polish, don't get me wrong, but, you know, they can eat their beef. We don't need Brazilian or Polish beef when we have the best beef in the world here. Good man, Phelan, top representative, says a listener. Another end of the day, the farm payments coming will be cut. All the different things they put out there is a way to say we will be cutting in the next cap. There will be cuts in the next cap. Yeah, I just think even across Europe, it's going to be survival of the fittest, you know, and the countries and the farmers within those countries that can do it profitably with the less amount of supports from the EU are the ones that will survive. And I believe sometimes brilliant people like Phelan trying to keep the issue on the table. I think the damage has already been done and now it's being felt. And that's how it feels. And I'm not saying it's national government. I don't know where it is, EU government, whatever it might be, who's to say. All right, our next guest in studio with me after these. On this morning's Monday Focus, we talked to Paul Murray, Donegal coordinator for the National Campaign for the Arts. Paul, thanks for calling in. Appreciate it.
Lovely to be here, Greg.
Right, now, this campaign is for a permanent scheme to provide a basic income for artists. And of course, this is a pre-budget conversation because the budget's about to be happening. So why do you think it's important to provide artists with a basic income?
Quite basically because we are quite underfunded throughout the arts in general. So it's very much kind of a fair pay sort of a scheme in what we see. So I guess, to give a bit of a background to actually what the basic income for the arts is, In 2022, Catherine Martin brought it in, a pilot scheme for 2,000 artists. There were 2,000 artists who got onto the scheme, and then there was just under 1,000 artists who were part of a focus group as well. So they all fed into that research for the
whether
last 3 years.
Whether or not it becomes permanent.
Yeah, pretty much so. So, that was to come to an end this month. It has been extended on to February 2026.
Is it for the same pool of artists it's been extended for, as far as we're aware?
It is those 2,000 that are in the scheme. But the current minister now wants, from the research of those last 3 years, wants to make it a fully realised scheme for a broader sense of our artists.
Do we have any idea, if it was to be extended broadly, how many artists we could be talking about? I mean, how do we know? Because there are qualifying criteria. It'd be impossible, really, I suppose, to have a number.
There is to have an exact number. And I guess what the department are working on at the minute is what the fully realised scheme would look like, what that criteria would be. For the pilot scheme, I think there was around 12,000
applicants
for it. 8,000 fitted the criteria for it, and then that was a lottery system down to the 2,000.
Okay. Well, what this weekly fee basically covers is artists who are producing original material, whether it's songwriting, writing work like poetry, artists, sculptors, performers, people who are producing and writing plays, and actors as well, of course. It's a fixed basic weekly income of €325.
It is.
So I presume that is what's determined to be enough to keep the wolf from the door, so that you can focus on creation and any supplementary income that might come from that?
It doesn't keep the wolf that far from the door.
No, I was thinking,
he's still scratching
maybe
at the door.
Maybe what it's designed for.
But it's just to give you that breathing space. And from the people, for the listeners, I'm not on the scheme.
Okay.
I did apply for the scheme, but I wasn't selected for it. So I don't have that vested interest in that I wanted to continue.
But were you in the lotto? Were you in the 8,000?
I was in the 8,000.
Right, okay.
I would qualify for it. But that €325, it's very small, but from the people I've talked to who actually got on the pilot scheme, the changes that it had made to their life, just that level of security that I suppose, For me, it kind of nearly brought a tear to my eye, some of the stories. Some of the people were very much on their mental health, had taken really, they were down even close to suicide in points, and it kind of brought them back from there and gave them their life back. They felt a sense of gratitude for getting onto the scheme and things like that. But
In terms of this becoming a permanent feature and being expanded, what's the KPIs? You know, like, that's the thing that we might struggle. Like, so how can you, are they measuring the output of the those that have been on the pilot scheme? Do you get where I'm coming from?
Yeah, like, yeah. Well, they have.
It's a difficult one to articulate the argument, say, this is working, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, you can give individual testimony, right? But I mean, this would be ended up being a multi-million euro thing. What do we know in that space in terms of how they're judging it?
Well, how they're judging it so far is, I suppose, a lot of the people on the scheme and feeding into the scheme for the last 3 years were given that direct feedback on the amount of time that they're actually being able to devote to their work, and how much percentage-wise their work actually output increased over that period.
Because in terms of art, sorry to cut across you, Paul, the value is not just monetary.
No.
It's cultural.
It is.
It's tied in with tourism.
Absolutely.
Creativity.
It is.
You know, lots of different spaces. So it's not necessarily about pounds pence and shillings, no, or euros, cents and whatever.
And as opposed to the general public, yeah, it's very hard to kind of get that message across because the arts doesn't so much act as the same as a normal business, if you know what I mean. It's not the set buy and sell sort of a thing. People get a hell of a lot more out of it. Mm. I suppose it's what makes us human.
It's not transactional in a traditional sense.
Not so much. But so that's why we feel that this campaign, that if the basic income does come in, it will help us produce more. It will be out in the public more. As I was saying, from people I know who are on the scheme, they felt an awful sense of giving back. So they actually, in their own communities throughout the county, they did writing workshops, they did art classes for free, yeah, or to marginal areas of society as well. And so there was an element of giving back.
You know, I mean, obviously we're all individuals, right? But if you're involved in the arts and supporting other artists, supporting your community, trying to encourage people into the, it's part of, I think, for a lot of people being an artist, without trying to pigeonhole or stereotype, yeah, people, it's not universal, but I think you're far more inclined. So it does make sense to me that there's been an uplift sort of in terms of the artists on this scheme trying to engage others or support communities or give options to others.
It is, absolutely. And I suppose it's not so much of a payment thing. It would be more of an arts infrastructure thing, if you know what I'm saying. We're building, like, internationally, we sell ourselves as the land of saints and scholars, but we're not paying the scholars. Mm-hmm. There's very few of the scholars who are making a living. So if we're selling ourselves internationally on that front, then we need to put our money where our mouth is. Do you know what I mean? So we need to invest in that grassroots, the professional artists, writers, performers across the board in the arts, and actually say, you count. Do you know what I mean? You actually have, you contribute to society, and without you, we wouldn't have a massive element of our lives would be missing.
But people who make, no, it's fine, Paul. People who make that decision have to get that though, because there are competing priorities, right? So you can allocate the money for this to something else, and everyone would go, yay, that's fantastic. Yeah. And you could allocate the money to this project, for an example. And artists and those in the arts would get it, right? But maybe to the wider public, it's a more difficult sell to the benefits of it. And I suppose that's why we are having conversations like this.
And I think from the research for the past 3 years, there is that knock-on effect that how does it benefit the exchequer? Really, is what it comes down to whenever the Jack Chambers.
Yeah, but
is
some of the benefits
decision.
Here you cannot put on a spreadsheet.
No, you can't. But we've had to, as artists, move into that business territory to sell this. The other benefits will come in kind, but yes, we've had to make that sell to the department. We don't want the money to come away from the Arts Council of Ireland or any other funding across the arts sector. So this should be separate. But getting back to what you're saying, there's kind of that knock-on effect where social welfare, it takes people away from those benefits. It benefits the health service because people's mental health has picked up. So there's lots of minor knock-on effects that not having this would have on the exchequer. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of drawn from that pool to show that actually people will cost more money this way than they will the other way.
The minister that introduced this is no longer in that portfolio.
No.
What's the mood music coming from Patrick O'Donovan's office?
Patrick O'Donovan has publicly given the two thumbs up for this. So he has. He wants this as part of the budget. And he is fully gung-ho for it. He's proposing it for the budget. So what our campaign actually is to get his government colleagues to, in the next couple of weeks now in government talks, to back the basic income.
Has it been costed at all?
It has. Yeah, it has. It approximately, we're talking about 134 million.
Per year?
Per year.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And you're chatting probably between 8 and 10 thousand artists would be on the scheme.
Yeah, okay. Now, I suppose in the wider scale of a multi-billion euro budget,
yes,
that's not that big amount of money, though it is astronomical too at the same time, but it's the value of it. It's about...
Yes, it is the value.
You know, I'm not saying every artist is necessarily working in the area of you know, our culture or our language, yes, or whatever, yes. But an awful lot of them are, and I don't think it's necessarily a massive investment, especially if you were to sort of offset against how many of those might be on social welfare in any case, or whatever. Absolutely. It might be, you know, okay.
Yeah. And for artists... A lot of our work is done for free. Do you know what I mean? We're kind of very undervalued because the arts is so underfunded. It's one of the most frustrating things of being an artist, because you're constantly set. People are always, that'd be a great experience. Oh, it'd be a great for your portfolio. And look, my portfolio and great experience doesn't feed my kids. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
So, selling work and getting paid for the work that I do does.
If you want to learn more about what we've been talking about, you can go to scfa.ie. There's a Facebook page there, of course. You can go on Facebook and Instagram and check out @campaignforarts, and the four is the digit four. Or if you want more information from Paul, it's info@paulmoreyartist.com.
It is, yes.
And really, the purpose of a conversation like this is to try and let other people understand that if they agree with you, you know, you can contact your local rep. It costs you nothing, right? And you can say, listen, I would really be inclined to vote for you again if you would support the arts, do you know?
Absolutely. And that's what we're asking people to.
And it really is.
To contact.
Requires very little effort. And
Little effort. It's a matter of a couple of minutes. I have a template email and stuff like that.
Great.
There for
okay.
people. So it's very much just people to contact our local TDs or local government TDs who will be at the budget table and saying to them that basically, I think this is a good idea, and to push for it in budget talks in the next couple of months.
Okay, so what are you working on yourself at the moment?
I am working on this, and
of course, actually, you know,
this week
you have to throw yourself at it, don't you?
You do for a couple of weeks, but hopefully it'll be worthwhile. Myself, I don't have any shows this year. It'll probably be next year before I have a couple of shows. I do, not every day is a painting day. And in the world of an artist, that's one of the things that people have to realise. I don't sit there painting every day from morning till night.
Did you say you've got children?
I do, two grown-up children.
Oh, right, okay, grown-up. All right,
yeah,
that's okay.
No, well, I say grown-up, they're 21 and 22, so... Right. Yeah.
They're
never fully grown up. One's a dancer and one's a drummer as well,
brilliant.
My missus plays piano, so we're an artistic household.
For
so,
sure.
Well, we keep the wolf from the door.
Getting through it.
It scrapes big time.
Listen,
but anyway, we're not complaining
Christmas
about
is
that.
Around your ass will be good crack.
Yeah.
All right, Paul, thanks so very much indeed.
Thanks, Greg.
That is Paul Murray, Donegal Coordinator for the National Campaign for the Arts. You can get more information by emailing info@paulmoreyartist.com. There are templates available. I think if you can scribble something down yourself in an email or even use AI, I've heard ministers in the past sort of poo-pooing or casting shade on emails that come
in
the same format
an awful lot,
which I wouldn't want to give
and
anyone. I get where you're coming from and why you have them, but if you can...
It's just as a backup, but I've been asking people to send personal emails of their own personal
two
stories.
Lines.
Absolutely.
Two lines, exactly.
Yeah.
But if you want that template, is there.
Yeah.
Check out @campaignforthedigit4arts on Instagram or Facebook for more information. As I say, backing them, it costs you nothing. It's just a little email and you never know, it might help. We're joined on the programme now by MEP Cynthia Nimurku. Good morning, Cynthia. Thanks so much for your time.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. It's great to have you with us, Cynthia. Now, we've been talking actually quite a bit over the last 10 days about the dangers of our roads, you know, and the terrible loss of life, and also focusing on, you know, overrepresentation of certain demographics. But listen, we'd love it to be zero. We need to get closer to that. What are you calling for in an attempt to try and, you know, reduce the number of deaths on our roads?
Get tough, really. Get clever. Look, there are so many people now that are being caught doing excessive speed. But I think we need a greater concentration of speed vans at accident black spots and on our rural roads, where the speeding is dramatically impacting our road safety. And In recent years, Greg, we've had a stretch of road close to my own, in my own home county, close to where I live on the N80. It's the main artery between the M9 motorway and Rosslare Europort, known as Ballantrain. And unfortunately, Greg, there's been a number of fatalities, predominantly young people, particularly in 2024. Now, thankfully, the road has been realigned. There is a lot of useful safety signage and so forth. But not before its time, and not unfortunately before we saw a number of deaths. We know in 2024 that overall in Ireland 174 people died on our roads, and we know as of August 27 this year in 25, Greg, we have seen that toll at 111. So we've a long way to go. Out of that 111 deaths as well, let's not forget about our pedestrians. There were 23 pedestrians, 21 motorcyclists, and 10 were on bicycles. Mm. So we really need to look at the accident black spots, and they are predominantly obviously on rural roads, country roads, that are not of sufficient quality and of sufficient width and camber and so forth, but also in our urban areas, because of course a car travelling at 65 kilometres per hour can do can inflict fatal damage.
Yeah, there's a couple of things, Cynthia, if you don't mind me saying. First and foremost, no one talks about this, which I really find quite remarkable, or at least I haven't heard anyone talk about it. Google, which is based here in Ireland, actively tells people where speed vans are through its app and through Waze. So what's the point? You know, what is the point? Anyone who has a phone or anyone who has a smart screen in their car are being told where the speed vans are anyway. So what's the point of more of them when we've got multi-billion euro companies based in Ireland telling people where they are?
Yeah, I'm calling for a crackdown on the detection of anybody with those types of devices in their car.
It's just Google Maps or Waze. It's Google Maps or Waze. Sorry, Cynthia, I'm not on about things that pick up lasers. I'm on about Google Maps and Waze, which Google owns, flagging where speed checks are. It's not it's not technology within the car. It's Google that's providing this information. Now, it's user generated, but they're platforming it, and it's a selling point of their product.
No, you're absolutely quite right, but I am calling for speed vans in particular to be assigned to areas where it is known.
Okay, I get you. But just they will still be identified by Google and told to drivers so they can slow down as they approach them and then put the foot down once they leave them. That, to me, seems to be a significant problem here.
I think you're right, Greg, but I think the problem has been highlighted. You were saying that you didn't notice too many people talking about this, but we did see the Crowe report referring to that independent review of roads policing quite recently, published in August, actually, of this year, only last month. And it was very troubling and deeply troubling to me, and that's why this press release was issued by me. But it obviously identified a minority of demotivated officers and issues with organisational issues like recruitment and retention and resource shortages leading to a reduced workforce. But it raised huge concerns for me about the integrity and the effectiveness of roads policing in Ireland. So for repeat offenders, Greg, I think we need to have a suspension of their licence. I think they also need to be told you must re-educate before you get your licence back. And that means you're off the road until you prove that you have done this re-education course. And I think there is a commitment in the 25 programme for government with regards to enhanced driver training and introduction of re-education courses. But you're quite right. Look, the use of AI is going to have to be caught up on, so to speak. But overall, and we may never catch up, but we have to really readdress this with re-education. People have to realise that if you speed, you'll have to pay. You'll have to pay a fine, you'll have to pay in penalty points, and then you'll be not only put off the road, but suspended. Okay. If you're a repeat offender speeding all the time, you will be suspended or your licence.
But you will do through the penalty point system. I mean, the figures you've released, 32 million collected over 10 months countrywide, a million in Donegal over that 30-month period. People are being spotted speeding all of the time, but we're not seeing a change in driving behaviour, you know, and if you're determined to speed, as I mentioned, there are free tools available for you to avoid, for the most part, speed checks. So
Greg, I suspect also there's a grain of truth in what you've just said there about people are being fined, but the corollary question is, are they paying the fines? And of course, from previous research that I did with regards to the district courts being able to execute on foot of orders, fines orders, there is a difficulty there as well. So there is a culture out there which is literally giving the two fingers. And that's why I'm saying that we really need to reappraise where our speeding vans are going and why are they being operated as a loss. Now, there was a certain programme ran out in England a number of years ago whereby the local authority and the local metropolitan police came together, and the monies that they garnered from the fines or gathered from the fines were spent directly by them. In other words, decisions were made by the local police and the local authorities because they knew in a lot of cases, the police authorities, they know who the offenders are, repeat offenders in the main.
Cynthia,
and
that
is something we should be looking at.
We should be doing pilots. We need to try something. Cynthia, sorry to cut across you, but I must go as we're approaching the top of the hour. Have a wonderful day. Take care. Thank you very much for your time. That's MEP Cynthia Nimorhu there. Did you agree? Disagree? 08660 25,000 is the WhatsApp and text number. Or give us a call on 07491 25,000. That's pretty much where we have to leave it on the show today. Thank you so much. I don't know what it was like for you, but the 3 hours certainly flew for me. And we're back to do it all again, God willing, from 9 o'clock tomorrow morning.